Please turn with me now in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. It's page number 20 in your pew Bible, Genesis 15. And as the bulletin indicates, we're going to pay special attention to verses 7 through 21, which is the text for the sermon this evening, 7 through 21. But I'll start with verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him for righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. And as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years, but I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Before I preach, I'd like to ask the Lord to open this word to us. Dear Heavenly Father, we do confess that we'd be blind to the truth in this word without your Spirit, and our hearts would be hard to this word without your work. We pray that you would open our eyes to see wonderful things out of this word and to receive them from the heart, as did Abraham. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. About 500 years ago, Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to the church door of Wittenberg. The Reformation began. How do you remember this Reformation? Well, we've learned the five solas of the Reformation. We've learned about the Word alone, about faith alone, grace alone, God's glory alone, and of course, Christ alone. Do you realize 4,000 years ago, Abram had a covenant made between himself and God. God made this covenant, and the five slogans of the Reformation are the exact same as the five slogans of this covenant. Now, what is a covenant? A covenant is a bond. It's an official relationship. It is a legal connection of blessing and of cursing. Tonight we're going to consider the five solas of this covenant. First, we're going to look at the Word alone. Second, we're going to look at faith alone. Third, we're going to look at God's grace alone. Fourth, we're going to look at God's glory alone. And fifth, we're going to consider Christ alone. With these things in mind, let us now find comfort with Abram in the five solas of the covenant of grace. Well, the first sola of the covenant is the Word alone. Yes, God speaks. He reminds Abram what he's already done for him. And what has God done for Abram? Many things. He has delivered him from Ur of the Chaldeans. He's taken him up from spiritual slavery and death. He has rescued him from idols, from Satan, and from hell. Look at verse 7. God also said to Abram, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans. This is the way God introduces the covenant. He declares himself as Abram's covenant Lord. He proclaims himself favorable to Abram. For God has taken Abram from his old home in Ur. He has delivered Abram from death and damnation, and he has counted Abram righteous through his word alone. Congregation, remember this covenant introduction. Let it remind you that the Holy Scriptures alone contain God's word of grace. You won't find this word of salvation by looking to the sun outside, no matter how lovely the day. You won't find this word of salvation in the newspaper or on the internet. You will find it in the Word alone. My friends, the cursed creation does not reveal blessed redemption. Only the Word of God does that, His special Word. And even more, let this covenant introduction remind you that as Abram, you who believe in Christ have been delivered. You have been delivered from sin. You've been delivered from your birth in this world. You have been delivered from slavery to idols and Satan. Further, through his word alone, God reveals what he will do for Abram. He pronounces his purpose in delivering Abram. He proclaims his promise for Abram's future. He says, I brought you. Why? To give you this land, to take possession of it. Thus the covenant continues. God will provide Abram the land. Now think of the scope of Genesis 15. Verses 1 through 6 focus on Abram's heir, his son, his seed. Verses 7 through 21 focus on Abram's inheritance, his land, the place where his seed will live, the land of Canaan, the land of promise. Yes, Abram hears of the promised land again. For in Genesis 12:1, God spoke to Abram of this land. He said, leave, go to the land that I will show you. Again in Genesis 13, God mentions this land more specifically. He tells Abram, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your seed forever. In our passage, God says, I brought you to give you this land, to take possession of it. Consider how important this is for Abram. Put yourself in Abram's shoes. Try to feel what he might have been feeling. Abram didn't have a homeland at this time. He had no real country. This isn't so different from ourselves. This land in which we live, this country in which we live, we can see more and more each day this country is not the real home of Christians. We're not welcome here. We wonder what our future will hold. This was Abram's very experience. He was a wanderer. Abram had relatives who were unbelievers. They still lived in Ur of the Chaldeans. They still had a home. Abram did not. All the wicked Amorites, the wicked Canaanites that surrounded him, they had a homeland. Abram did not. So the question would have crossed his mind, just like it might cross our minds. Where does a real believer have to settle? Where will Abram live? Where will his offspring, his seed, live? Well, consider the gift now. God will make sure that Abram's heir will have a home in the promised land. Yes, Abram must forget everything else as his true hope. He must forget his piles of gold. He must forget his herds of cattle. He must forget his possessions, his wealth in this life. He must hope for the land. Now in Genesis 15, 1 through 6, we read in verse 4 that Eliezer of Damascus is not going to inherit Abram's possessions. And in our passage, we find out that Abram's son, his heir, is not going to inherit, fundamentally not going to inherit the gold and the cattle. Fundamentally, the inheritance is going to be this land of promise. Yes, Abram must let go of his earthly bounty. He must not hope in creation, but recreation. He must not hope in providence, but in redemption. I hope that strikes you, strikes me. When we lose hope in future providences, we don't know what the next day will bring. But we can hope with Abram in redemption, in the new creation. For God promises Abram an inheritance. And Abram does not earn this inheritance. He does not deserve it. He deserves to be left in Ur. He deserves to be left under the curse of God. Yet he is promised a blessed inheritance in the holy land of Canaan. Oh, think of what this pictures, my friends. Abram deserves his portion in hell, yet God gives him heaven. Do you see this of yourselves? Do you see that you, like me, we deserve our portion with the wicked? Oh, let us see that we deserve our lot in hell. And yet, let us not stay there. Let us see that God grants sinners heaven as a free gift. Let us trust in God that he grants us heaven as a free gift of his covenant. For the covenant of grace is revealed in God's word alone. Well, the next sola of the covenant that we find in our text, in verse 8, we find faith alone. It is by faith alone that Abram responds to the promise. It is by faith alone that Abram recognizes God as his covenant Lord. It is by faith alone that Abram receives the promise. Yes, his faith alone rests upon the covenant of grace that God has just introduced. Look at verse 8. And Abram said, O sovereign Lord. You see, Abram believed God. He believed God enough to call him his sovereign Lord. He believed him enough to go boldly to his throne of grace. By faith alone, Abram receives the promise of the land. Therefore, he prays. And we must do the same. We who are believers, we need to respond to God's covenant word with faith-born prayer. My friends, let us do as Abram. Let us take up the covenant of grace as we pray, O sovereign Lord. For further, it is by faith alone that Abram requests the covenant to be made more sure, more official. It is by faith alone that he begs for his faith to grow, to become stronger. He asks, how can I know that I will gain possession of the land? Well, this question mirrors his question in Genesis 15:2. In Genesis 15:2, Abram asks, what can you give me? And God's answer is an heir, a sign. All the stars of night that we see with Abram in verse 4 signify that Abram will have his son. Now, Abram's asking for the same thing. He's heard of the promise of the land, and he wants a sign. He wants an official rite and ceremony to secure the promise to his soul. Well, consider Abram's struggle. His faith is weak and plagued with doubt. It is as if Abram is pleading to God, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Can you understand that? Can you relate to that? Sometimes our faith can be so weak. And when it is, we must be like Abram. We must go to God boldly and say, "Oh, sovereign Lord, confirm your promise to me." Well, next, grace alone is the third sola of the covenant. For by grace alone, God makes the covenant. We see this in how God responds to Abram. Does God rebuke Abram? Does God correct Abram? Does God say, "Abram, how could you doubt this promise?" No, he doesn't. He doesn't rebuke Abram. He doesn't correct him for his doubt. Instead, he grants the desire of his heart. He grants him the confirmation of the covenant. He grants him the ceremony and sign that Abram seeks. Oh, my friends, do you see how gracious God is? Abram has the faith of a bruised reed, yet God does not break him. Abram has the spiritual strength of a smoldering candle, yet God does not quench him. Look at verse 9. So the Lord said to him, "Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon." With these words, God begins the covenant ceremony, the solemn and holy ritual that will display his amazing grace. My friends, if the covenant depends upon Abram's merits or worthiness, it will not be made. Yet because God's free favor is strong, the ceremony begins. Do you see in this how grace is not about our merits, works, or worthiness? The land is not given because Abram earns it. In fact, for his unbelief, Abram earns punishment. He deserves to be left under the covenant of works that says, "Do this and you will live." He deserves to hear the warning, "The soul that sins, it will die." Yet God does not deal with Abram according to what he deserves. He deals with him according to what he does not, cannot, nor ever will deserve. My friends, this is what grace is all about. We see this in the very signs of the covenant. Do any of you recognize those animals? A heifer, a goat, ram, a dove, pigeons? Do you recognize them? Oh, surely you've seen these animals before if you've read any of the Old Testament. You've heard of the sin offering, the blood of a heifer. You've heard of the scapegoat sent into the wilderness. You've heard of the burnt offering, the dove and the pigeons. God picks these animals because they are the ways in which he will picture and display his grace, because his covenant is by grace alone. And this covenant by grace alone moves Abram unto godly gratitude. Look at verse 10. Abram doesn't question. He doesn't doubt. He doesn't delay. He goes right away and he gets the animals. He obeys God. This is the kind of obedience we should have. We who have been given the covenant of grace by grace alone should be moved by this grace to obedience that does not ask questions, that doesn't doubt, that doesn't delay. We should get up and go and do all the Lord tells us. This obedience does not earn God's favor. Rather, it says thank you for the favor of God given by his grace alone. Now look carefully at what Abram does. He gets the animals. He cuts them in two. Look at verse 18. The Lord made a covenant with Abram. Do you see that word made? It could be translated cut. You see, in Abram's day, covenants were cut. They were made through cutting rituals and the shedding of blood. This is because the life is in the blood. And in the ritual, the very blood, the very life is poured out. The animals die. They are made to go through the curse of death in order to make the covenant alive. And we see this emphasis on a covenant unto death in verse 11. Verse 11 says, then the birds of prey came down and the carcasses. These birds of prey are vultures. They're carrion birds. They eat dead things. These animals are dead. These birds come as messengers of death. So death indeed is the point of the cutting and the bleeding. The animals that were once alive are now dead. Their carcasses, dead bodies. And this covenant with Abram is a bond of blessing in life and cursing in death. Well, look at how zealously Abram defends this covenant. He doesn't let these birds come and consume. He doesn't let them stay there. He gets up and he drives the birds away. Because he wants this covenant to be kept pure and true. He has a zeal for the covenant of grace. That's the way we should be. When people come to try to mix works righteousness in with the covenant of grace, we should be zealous like Paul was in the book of Galatians. We should drive away the heretics and the devils that would take from us this covenant which is by grace alone. Oh, let us defend the covenant of grace like the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians. Let us drive away legalism and the devil's lies. Let us not countenance those who would add works in any way to merit God's grace. For the covenant is by grace alone. Well, number four, this covenant involves God's glory alone. It is unto God's glory alone because it is from God's glory alone. God awes Abram. He fills Abram with wonder as the ceremony goes on. God's awesome glory sends the sun down over the horizon. It sends Abram down into a deep sleep. It sends Abram into the horror of darkness. And by God's glory alone, he's going to send Abram's seed down into a land that is not theirs, where they will serve in hard labor and bondage. And God's glory sends judgments down upon the Egyptians, sends punishments down upon the Amorites. Yes, in his covenant words and works, God's glory alone fills Abram with awe by his holy law. Well, God's glory alone also assures Abram with the gospel. It assures Abram, as God says afterward, your descendants or your seed shall come out of bondage with great possessions. For just as Abram was brought from spiritual slavery in Ur. Now think about that. Abram was in spiritual slavery in Ur. And God says that like Abram, in his spiritual condition, his children in their physical condition will suffer bondage. They will suffer in slavery. And just as God brought Abram up out of spiritual slavery, God will bring his seed up out of physical slavery. And just as God brought Abram into the land of Canaan with great possessions, he will bring his children into Canaan with great possessions. For God's glory alone assures as it appears in a burning lamp and a smoking furnace. Do you remember that verse? Our God is a consuming fire. That consuming fire appears here in the making of the covenant. And yet notice, that fire does not consume Abram. It goes between the pieces of the dead animals. For after the horror of great darkness, God sends his great light. There's another phrase from the Reformation, after darkness, light. We even see that here in this text. God's glory alone also assures as it passes, as it goes between the pieces. What does this mean? Seems kind of strange to us, right? What does it mean? You take some animals and you bleed them out, cut them in half, and you lay them in a pattern opposite one another. And then God sends his appearing glory between those pieces. What does that mean? It means God is swearing upon his own life that he will give the land to Abram. God is saying that he will be as these dead animals before he lets his promise to Abram fail. Now notice, Abram is asleep. God is awake. Abram is resting. God is working. Abram can contribute nothing. God contributes everything. It's God's glory alone that makes his covenant. And that is the way it is for every one of you who lays hold of God for everlasting life in the heavenly Canaan. You must find your assurance in God's work alone, for it is his glory alone to keep his word to us who believe. It is his glory alone to give us life in an eternal home. We can contribute nothing to earn our place in the resurrection of the just. God must contribute everything. And when God's glory passes between the pieces, he is saying something even more profound than just that he swears to give the land. He is saying that he himself will go through his own curse to keep his promise. We who doubt that God will keep his promises, we need to listen. God takes an oath upon his own destruction to keep his word to Abram. Are you like that? You keep your promises like that? We know we don't. Our word is weak. God's word is strong. Our word is sinful. God's work is sure. His word is sure. His promise is all-powerful. What he says he will do, he does. And for the sake of his glory alone, God himself will cover Abram's sin. Do you see this? It's in the passage. There is atonement for Abram's sin in the passage. God does not deserve the curse of death. Abram does. God has not broken the covenant of works. Abram has. Yet in the covenant of grace, God assumes Abram's place. He takes upon his own curse in order to bless Abram. Abram is the sinner, yet God blesses him. God is holy, yet he curses himself. Indeed, this shows forth how God covers, that is, makes atonement for. Remember that. When you hear the word atonement, think covering. The word atonement means covering, and this is what God does for Abram, covers his sin. But how can God then take upon himself his own curse of death in order to give Abram life? I'm sure you already know. By Christ alone, God himself will come into our flesh, will come into Abram's flesh. Oh, if we look at verse 18, we see something of that. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, to your descendants. Now, that word descendants in there actually is more of a more flexible word. It carries with it the idea of offspring. Well, offspring can be one or it can be many. It can be singular or it can be plural. Like the word seed. So you could read that to say, to your seed I give this land. And ultimately, who is the one seed of Abram? The Lord Jesus Christ, the son of Abram. Yes, in Christ alone, the covenant is secure. For his sake alone, the covenant is made. Indeed, by taking upon himself Abram's flesh, God, even God the Son, will assume Abram's place and cover Abram's sin, making atonement. God, as Abram's seed, will receive Abram's curse for sin, suffering and dying as the animals that were divided and bled. You see, my friends, it is Abram's heir that secures Abram's inheritance. It is Abram's heir who builds Abram's home. For the sake of Christ alone, God says, I give this land. From the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Truly this promise will be. Have you read the book of Joshua? You know what happens. The Israelites, the children of Israel, the children of Abram, come into the land and conquer the Amorites, conquer the Rephaites, conquer the Canaanites. And the preliminary conquest that we read of in Joshua serves the greater purpose of the promised seed. You see, it's Jesus who's going to live in this land. Jesus, God himself, come in the flesh of Abram, walks on this land. He is born of a virgin in this land. He lives in perfect obedience to God's command in this land. He dies in this land. He is cut and bled under the darkness and curse of the law in this land. He rises to endless life in this land. He ascends into heaven in this land. He pours out the Spirit in this land. And he will return to this land. That's why this land is holy. No other reason than for the sake of Christ. This is why the land is cursed to Canaan and promised to Abram. It is for the sake of Christ alone. And when he returns, this promise will be complete. Are you looking for the return of Christ? I hope you are. Today is one day closer than it was yesterday. We're commanded to watch for his return. We're commanded to lift up our heads and behold our redemption drawing nigh. The unbelieving sons of this earth who corrupt God's creation will be destroyed. This creation will be purged. And we who are descendants of Abram by faith alone in the descendant of Abram will inherit this world forever. We can forget that. I remember when my father passed away a few years ago, I was having a hard time with it, and I was kind of wandering around over near Grand Haven, just kind of in a daze. An old man comes up to me and says, come here, son, I have something to show you. And he showed me a passage out of the Bible that talked about the resurrection and the return of Christ. And he said, I want you to remember something. Look around you. One of these days, everything is going to change. The dead will rise. God will remake this world, and this will be our home. That is the ultimate consummation of this promise. When Christ will return with his church and for his church, all will rise who believe in him to enjoy the land made anew as a part of the new heavens and new earth. Oh, my friends, let us not set our hearts upon this life. Let us not put our hope in earthly princes or politicians or in our material possessions. Let us, with Abram, let all these things go in order to look, as Abram did, for the city whose builder and maker is God in the everlasting promised land of heavenly Canaan. So, my friends, remember the five solas of the Reformation. But even more, remember the five solas of the covenant. Hear God's salvation spoken in his word alone, as we find it in Scripture alone. Respond to the promise of redemption by faith alone. Rest in God's grace alone. Give God and his works all the glory alone. And above all, put your assurance and confidence and hope in Christ alone. For he who is very God has come into the land of Canaan as very man, the son of Abram. He has died for our offenses and risen again for our justification, and has gone to prepare a heavenly place for us. And he will come again to give us resurrection life in a land that is blessed with his holy light and presence without end. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would strengthen our faith with Father Abram. We pray that if there be any here who know not this promise as their own, that they would repent of their unbelief and turn unto the seed of Abram, and that all of us together would walk in a way of holiness and obedience that reflects such a promise as those who look for the new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells. Dismiss us now with your blessing and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Amen.